Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to 106.7 The Fan. I know. You tuned in and listening to Grant and Danny. I'm actually going to be sitting in for them. My name is Reese Waters. You may know me from sitting in Sundays 9 to noon on this here channel. Or you also may know me from Get Up DC weekdays at 6 a.m. on WSA9. Or you may know me from Instagram. I see you jumping in my DMs. That's my boy Sean on the ones and twos. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Reese, how are you?
I'm good. Did you happen to see, I saw that Fetty Wap was trending because somebody had posted that they wanted to see a Fetty Wap versus Designer versus. And then the reply was, what are they going to do after the first round?
So that would be the quickest versus in the world.
That versus be 15 minutes long. You could actually fit that versus on like a regular post without being verified. I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. We got a ton to talk about today. Just recapping a couple things that we got into yesterday. We talked a little bit of John Thompson, some memories of his time here and his impact on our sporting culture and our larger culture here in DC as well as nationwide. So if you have any thoughts on John Thompson, the question that I left that conversation with was, are we a basketball town or a football town? I think that we're a basketball town, despite the fact that the Washington football team is our most popular team. If you want to weigh in on that, feel free to hit me up. I also had some smoke for Dan Snyder. Of course, the Washington Post just continues to come with the missiles headed upstairs, and it just gets worse for him. I didn't even get to all the smoke that I had for Dan Snyder. I didn't even get to the allegations of intimidation of witnesses and private investigators and all that kind of stuff, but I will. So if you have any thoughts on Dan Snyder, definitely hit me up on that. I actually didn't get a chance to get around to, although Grant Paulson mentioned it when he was on as a guest, the 25th anniversary of Cal Ripken's streak, 21-31. Where were you when Cal Ripken broke that streak? That was on September 6th, and there were patches worn by the Orioles as well as digital banners throughout the field. There were interviews on television, played of, you know, old Cal Ripken interviews. He was celebrated with the first pitch. And he said, quote, when asked what it means I'm getting old. That's what it means. It's a wonderful memory. I've never been anyone to think about what's happened in the past. When you get to a certain stage of your life, you look back fondly on many things that you were able to accomplish. 21-31 is almost one of those surreal, magical things that you wonder, did that really happen to me? End quote. Yep, it did happen to him. And yes, it does mean that we're all getting old. Where were you when Cal celebrated his 21-31? I can tell you, my mother got a bunch of commemorative Coke cans that had Cal Ripken all over them, and they still sitting in our basement. I can only imagine what is inside those Coke cans today. It's enough of them. I probably could have one and make a pretty decent TikTok. But I want to know where you were and your feelings on it being 25 years since Cal Ripken broke that streak. But it being Labor Day, I thought it was an appropriate time to have one of the conversations that I tend to come back to regularly when it comes to our sports culture. And that is why we as fans, and I assume that most of you guys are fans, some of you might just have the radio on to drown out a significant other, those of you you know, I tip my cap, imaginary. But why do we as fans tend to side with ownership over the players? And I say that when we as a country have a history of siding with the little guy. When it comes to labor negotiations, we tend to side with the little guy. When it comes to any really sort of competition or conflict, we tend to side with the little guy. We always want to see the underdog. But when it comes to sports, things take a turn and we tend to side with ownership over the players. We tend to side with the billionaires over the millionaires, potentially millionaires. And it's really curious for a number of reasons. One, you know, the players have a very finite amount of time in order to make their money, whereas the owners own the team indefinitely. I mean, we're suffering under an ownership that we cannot pry from the very live hands of Dan Snyder right now. So one has time working against them and the other one doesn't. And then there are these devices that are used, like a salary cap, which is used against the players, where people will say, you know, this guy's being greedy. He's taking up too much of the salary cap. Well, who came up with the salary cap? The owners came up with the salary cap in order to keep player salaries depressed, in order to keep player salaries down. Guess what they don't have? An income cap. No income cap. There's no cap on the prices of parking. There's no cap on the beer prices. There's no cap on the money that the owners are taking. All that cap means is that's the money that the owners won't be getting. All the rest they're getting. So I remember Kobe Bryant actually talked about this. God rest his soul. I remember Kobe Bryant talked about this when people criticized his contract, his last contract with the Lakers, and he talked about all of the money that he generated for the Los Angeles Lakers. You couldn't pay him within the confines of the salary cap, the amount of money that he was worth to the Los Angeles Lakers. I remember when Michael Jordan made $30 million and everybody thought that was insane. Salaries were like $5, $6, $7 million at that point. And everybody thought it was insane to pay Michael Jordan $30 million. How does that look right now? It's a question. Why is it that we as fans tend to side with ownership over the players? We do the exact opposite off of the field. We all act as if we're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, owning the Packers, and we all have like this shared stake in the team. We don't. Sure, we pay for that stadium. We fork over the money so that owner can have a brand new stadium that he can collect all the money from. And oh yeah, when FedEx comes around and says they want to put their name on the stadium, he takes all of that. What kind of racket is that? You build me a stadium, and then when a company comes and wants to put their name on the stadium, you don't get any of that money when you built the stadium? Word? I mean, the mob couldn't get away with that, but NFL owners get away with it all the time. And they get away with convincing us that the players are greedy each and every time that there's some sort of holdout or some sort of negotiation. And what do we say as fans? Oh, you know, he's not here for the team. He's not a team guy. He's selfish. He's a me first guy, all playing into the owner's hands. Because they're certainly not team guys when they decide to cut somebody or when they decide to trade somebody. They're not team guys then. The owners I'm talking about. I mean, what about keeping the cohesive unit together? They don't care about that when somebody they feel they can get somebody better for, or they feel like has outworn their welcome, or they feel like is no longer worth the contract that they signed. This is the NFL I'm talking about now. They can cut you whenever you want. But God forbid you want a renegotiation. You know, the only thing I can think of is that we're all self-interested as fans. We're all self-interested. And so if, you know, just throw out now, if down the line Chase Young decides that he wants more money, that's not going to put any more money in my pocket. That's not going to help me out. The only thing that helps me out is him being on the field. So it's in my selfish interest that Chase Young play and play for as little money as possible. Again, we're all acting as if we have some ownership stake in this team. We act as if they're playing in a playground. We act as if it's not a business. But then as soon as a player gets in trouble, it's a business again, right? When the owners didn't want to sign Colin Kaepernick, it was a business again. It's very curious behavior that we exhibit when it comes to sports. And I can't think of another aspect of society where we behave in this particular way. Because what are the other things that we hear when it comes to business? We hear about, the Amazon employees striking. We hear about how much money Jeff Bezos has. You know, that's that's my Alexa right there. See, that's see what happens? They listening. That didn't take long at all. Jeff Bezos now I'm on some sort of Amazon list right now. Watch my packages don't come on time. That's gonna be an issue for me. All right, I'm gonna have to deal with that at the break. Anyway. I want to hear from you guys what you guys think is the reason why we behave that way as fans. 800-636-1067. I see we got a couple people, my man Dave and my man Bill. I'm going to get at you guys as soon as I come back while I deal with this Alexa and make her stop listening at me. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, I'm going to go to my man Dave in Woodbridge. Dave, what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, Reese. I like all the topics you got going on today. One point I just wanted to jump in on when you were talking about ownership and salary caps. I do feel there is a need for salary caps for certain sports. One in particular, baseball. If you take the Yankees and they have their own network, if we don't have a cap in place, this team will spend whatever they can, and they'll have all number ones for. They'll have cleanup hitters at every position, basically. They can just outprice everybody. Without the cap, the Brewers, the Rays, those teams in those super small markets, they don't stand a chance. I do understand it is they can go over the cap and have a luxury tax. Nobody wants to pay the luxury tax, just like basketball. But, but what, NHL and football has the hard cap. And, yeah, and jump back with the ownership topic. I've always sided with the owners myself, and I can't really give you a good reason except maybe we look at them as maybe a little smarter than everybody else because they have all this money. That's for our football team in this area, and I really hope something does happen to move this man out. Obviously, he is not a good person. Because if not, we still stand another 30 years with this man. He's still in his low to mid 50s. And he bought the team in when he was like 35, 36. I listened to your comments back. I appreciate you taking my call, buddy.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you weighing in. Are you still there? I got a quick question. As a fan, assume you're a fan of the Washington football team. How do you balance rooting for the players on the field with also knowing that that's, a win for the players is also a win for the guys sitting up in the skybox?
That
was a question because I have trouble with that myself.
I'm sorry, I went over an overpass over here by National Harbor. I lost you for a second.
I was asking, how do you balance rooting for the team, rooting for the players, and rooting for the city, but at the same time not wanting Dan Snyder to have anything to feel good about or to say, look over there with all that he's created for himself?
So early on, I say early on, probably the first 10 to 12 years, I was a Snyder fan because he would spend money. He just spent it on all the wrong things. He had Vinny in there, and because he thought he had all this money, he can make every smart decision in the world because, he is a businessman. He's nothing like Jerry Jones, who at least played college football, who I don't like as an owner either, but that's hard balance. you know, whatever it takes for this guy to go, I'm tending to go with the players more now. They are justified to get paid more. They are risking their health. Look at all these cases from the 70s Steelers with people like Mike Webster and others, you know, with all these concussions. We know more now. You know, I just don't have a definitive answer for you on about the ownership part.
But I appreciate you weighing in. Thank you, Dave. Make sure you get where you're going safe.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Happy Labor Day. So Dave brought up the competitive balance aspect of the salary cap, which is a real issue. That's a real factor, especially when it comes to Major League Baseball and there's huge disparities in the amount of money that the owners bring in. However, what I will say is even in leagues where you have the hard cap, there's the criticism levied at players for trying to demand more money even within the cap, when the reality is if it were an open market, they could demand even more money than they're making right now. I mean, imagine how much money Patrick Mahomes could have demanded if it didn't warrant salary cap ramifications for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, just think about that. So that is a real issue, but I don't think that the financial reality, is applied to the players in giving consideration to the money they could make with regards to the money that they're making. And that's really what this whole thing is all about. There's a disconnect between us and the players, I won't say us in general. I'll say there's a disconnect between a lot of fans and the players because of the amount of money that they're making and not enough consideration to the amount of money they could make. And more significantly, the amount of money that the owners are making. My man Bill in Centerville is back. Bill, thank you for reaching back out to us, man. Happy Labor Day.
Labor Day, Reese, and it's great to hear you on the radio. I appreciate the intelligence and the insights that you bring. So thanks a lot, man. Anyway, I think it's real simple. I think it comes down to the fact that most of us are jealous of the players. I think we grew up playing a game, and we still look at it as a game. And I'm old enough to remember a movie from. A movie and book called North Dallas 40, and there's a scene in there where players are talking to the owners, and they say, when we say it's a game, you say it's a business. When we say it's a business, you say it's a game. And I think that we as fans have been brainwashed to look at it as a game. We do not appreciate what the players go through. We do not appreciate the fact that most of them have limited careers, and you know they put themselves on the line for our entertainment, and it's just not fair. I think most of us think back to when I was a kid, when I was in high school, when I was in college, whatever it was, but man, that's not the reality. The reality is that these guys get chewed up and spit out, and they deserve every penny that they can get. Anyway, I appreciate you taking my call, man. You have a great holiday weekend.
Will do. You too, Bill. I love that line. I'm going to have to take that line from North Dallas 40. When we say it's a business, you say it's a game. When we say it's a game, you say it's a business. That really, yeah, that encapsulates a whole lot of what I'm talking about. And I think that Bill has a legitimate point with regards to people viewing it as, oh, well, that's something that I used to do, or I would do it for X amount of money. Well, would you do it for X amount of money when you're generating Y amount of money? Like, would you do it for $100,000 if you're worth $200,000? Well, would you do it for $100,000 if you were $500,000? Would you do it for $100,000 if you were $5 million? Would you do it for $100,000 if you were $50 million? I mean, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry right now. You still want to do it for $100,000? I don't know. I'm going to levy that exact question to my next guest my man Wes Hall coming in from NBC Sports Washington. It's appropriate that he will be coming in today because it's a jersey sale. And you know we got to talk jerseys when my man's on the radio. South Marlington, I see you, man. I'm coming at you as soon as I get done with Wes. The rest of you guys hit me up, 800-636-1067. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to bring in my man from the sports trap house that is NBC Washington. That is the real Wes Hall. Wes, thank you for joining me on this Labor Day. Are you two working on Labor Day?
Yes, I'm working on Labor Day. And right now I'm working on putting together this nice tweet response to you and your foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Okay, so on Twitter, I posted a video of a car that has... This car has a BMW, Mitsubishi, Honda, Hyundai, Toyota, GMC, Saab, Oldsmobile. It's got everything on the back of this car, and it's appropriate for you because you mislabeled jerseys. You're the person that will put any name on the back of a jersey. That's why it's appropriate.
I only put my name, and a deviant version of your name is coming up for one. That's it. I'm limited. I'm offended, but I find myself honored to be offended by you on this beautiful Labor Day morning. So thank you for having me on.
There you go. By the way, this is sale at Mitchell & Ness, 25% off a jersey that you can define later.
Don't even play. I'm mad. I'm trying to get that Kobe Black Mamba one. I was taking a nap when it went on sale and it sold out. So
I feel you. Yeah, those are the joints. You got to wait online for those.
Yeah.
All right, man. I wanted to open up with you about John Thompson. I talked a lot about John Thompson. Yesterday, and about everything he meant to the culture. Now you're somebody. I mean, you've been around the country a little bit. And one of the things I was saying, mm-hmm. he meant a ton to D.C. in terms of local pride, but the identity that Georgetown was able to foster with the Black community specifically was something that transcended this geographical region, man. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely, man. Whether it was back in L.A. or even down in Tennessee, like, John Thompson represented more than just Georgetown basketball. Just Georgetown happened to be where he was coaching. His style and his influence and his almost parental, well, not almost, absolutely parental approach to coaching was something that resonated in different neighborhoods throughout the country. On the West Coast, I mean, it didn't matter that, okay, so we don't get a lot of cold weather. So you might not see somebody in a Georgetown starter coat, but you will see someone in a Georgetown jersey. You would see someone in a Georgetown t-shirt. You know, the Holy Assassin thing was real all over the place. Down south, obviously, it's the same thing. You know, you might get a little more colorful outfits with people matching the shoes to match the jersey, you know, and brothers all of a sudden starting to walk around with towels over their shoulder. But those are the superficial things that reflect his impact. When you get down to the bone of it, you see his impact in guys wanting to go to play for programs where they're nurtured more for their person, more so than their player. And when you look at the story of, you know, how he dealt with bringing Allen Iverson from where he was when he was known as quote-unquote Bubba Chuck to those who were his friends and family, he still is known that. But when he moved into the transition to AI, all of that is really based upon John Thompson pouring into him and letting Allen Iverson know that you're valued. Somebody cares about you. And when you saw Allen Iverson being taken under his wing like that, that's what resonated with a lot of players and just guys, period. It wouldn't even just players, a ton of non-athletes that admired John Thompson as well. So no matter where I was, most people who are not familiar with the HBCUs and how many of them there are and where they're located, a lot of people are like, oh, man, Georgetown Black School, bro, for real? I'm going to go to Georgetown. I'm like, bro, that's not accurate. However, if you want to go play for Coach Thompson, that's a good idea. So, yeah, he was the truth, man, and I miss him, and sports world miss him, and the world itself misses him, but his contribution will not be lost or forgotten.
Man, I had no idea they had a lacrosse team. You preaching when it comes to that. Right? I was right here. I was in Prince George's County. No, one of the things I was saying was that even though the Washington football team is the most popular team here locally, I feel like D.C. is a basketball town. I feel like the DMV is a basketball town because I feel like when you're defining what a town is, it speaks more to what we follow on the youth, high school, and even the collegiate level. And for me, that's basketball right here. Would you agree?
Absolutely agree. The entire Upper East Coast, Mid-Atlantic area, like if you take from North Carolina, basically North Carolina north, that's when you reach into basketball country. Anything from not even Kentucky, from Tennessee down, is football country. Virginia kind of falls there in the middle, depending on which team is, you know, successful at that time. Every once in a while, people go, oh, Cavaliers doing good. You know, when they won the national championship a few years back, like, okay, good for basketball. But, yeah, man, please. Basketball runs this area. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, you got to understand when it comes to whether it's the Wizards or the NBA and as a whole, D.C. has a ton of NBA fans. Yes, there are a lot of Wizards fans, but there are a ton of NBA fans. And I know that every NBA fan might not be a Wizards fan, but every Wizards fan is an NBA fan. So whether you're talking about the Bucks series with Miami, if you're looking at LeBron and them, you know, basically trying to fight for the dear life last night, you know, against Houston, those fans in this area, we care about it. Because like you said, when you're tracking, especially Prince George's County, with all the hoopers that have come out of there, how can you not be a basketball region? You got so many dudes in the NBA, you could really feel the Prince George's County basketball team in the NBA right now, and they're going to give somebody work. I don't know for how long. They might not win the whole game, but that starting unit is going to give you some work for at least two quarters. So, you know, it's a real testament to the talent and the patronage in this area.
Do you think that culture, because we're so basketball rich, in exchange for, I don't know what, the ninth pick, might be something the Bucks would take for Giannis?
Don't do that to me. Don't do that. I'm trying to have – I told Sean, your producer, I said, I'm on the clock till 12:30, okay? 12:30 is my cutoff point. You get to talking about Giannis and the Wizards, and I'm going to be working until I have nothing left on my hands.
Yeah,
I would love for that to happen. The problem is you got to give up something to get something, and the Bucks going to need a whole lot more than that pick. I mean, they're going to need a lot more than that number two pick, and I don't want to say any names because
But you know what? I asked that question in jest, but there is a real question there to be asked. We are a major metropolitan area. I think we're like the number five. I think we're number five right now in terms of size of market. And as you mentioned, we have a deep roots when it comes to basketball at every level until you get to the NBA.
Right.
Why has the Washington professional basketball team been unable to attract quality free agents? Remember, KD didn't even give us a visit.
Right. Well, KD didn't give the old regime a visit. Remember, we were under a different regime for quite some time, one that obviously didn't bear the fruits that allowed him to stay around, speaking of the Grunfeld era. So I can understand why players might not necessarily want to go run to D.C. to hoop there. Plus, here's another element of it, and this has nothing to do with the organization, because now Tommy Shepard and Coach Brooks have this entire thing running in a different direction, and you can feel a bit of confidence. The winds haven't necessarily showed up, but that thundercloud is over the head. But when you look at basketball in this area, and this goes for any place that a player is from, a lot of people don't understand the dynamic of playing in front of your home crowd, especially at the professional level, on an 82-game schedule plus preseason and hopefully postseason. So you're looking at a bare minimum of 41 to 45 games at home. And you know what it is? You already know, Reese. How many cousins you got?
Yeah. How many gonna be there?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
And this isn't and I'm not just speaking, you can put any player's name in any city and this same thing is applicable. How many guys are willing to say, all right, man, I gotta go play in front of them, which means I gotta buy out section 112 every game out of my pocket, and then, you know, all right, so my family's gotta be there, I gotta do that. And then here's the other aspect of it. What do they say? What's the old saying in Wizard of Oz? Is no place like home.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to have that place to retreat. You always want to have that place you can step back to and still receive that love. You want to be able to go away. So if you're born in Prince George's County and you get to go play in Charlotte or Phoenix and have a great career, Indiana, like Victor Oladipo, later on in your career, if you want to come back this way, so be it. But it tends to not be that for guys that are locally here. Now, as far as attracting the rest of the free agents, like I said, that's the old regime. We're going to work on that. We're working on that. But right now, I'm just too excited about the fact that I've got two guys who are certified dogs, certified ballers coming back this year, Brad and John, who I'm speaking of. And so I'm just excited about that. And I really think this is going to be a season that's exciting for Wizards fan and NBA fans to watch, because I think this is what we've all been waiting for. Fully healthy John, fully healthy and matured Brad. It's going to be exciting, man. It really is.
Don't forget fully realized Thomas Bryant. Like we
Come
all
on, man, don't you start. Look, we're going to move him to the four. We're going to move him to the four now. We're going to move him to the four because Buddy likes to stretch the floor. He likes to get hype. He's still raising the roof. You and I remember the first time Raising the Roof came around, so glad to see it get its remix. He's fun to watch. And then we're going to move Rui to the three, and we're going to work on this five situation because that's where we need a little bit of help.
Now, I'm one of those guys, you know, if we're not drafting in the top two or three, I'm one of those guys that wants to reach. I want to swing for the fences. I want to get the guy with the highest ceiling. Who should I be rooting for to fall to us in the draft?
So, looking at the top picks, obviously you got Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, and James Wiseman. Now, some have said that a guy like Obi Toppin could be there. He's only standing around 6'9", but he's playing a power forward. Again, our concern is five. There's not a lot of fives that are still laying around after him. So, what you do is, you do like Tommy Shepard did and said, I got phone calls to make. Who's willing to take my pick at 9 this year, plus a body to let us move up? Because if we can get a hold of a 5, I mean, the most popular name right now is James Wiseman, but there's a couple others out there that I don't want to say because I kind of like what we did last year where we didn't say nothing about Rui Hachimura and then Rui showed up and I was like, wow, they really pulled one over on me. So I'm not going to say nobody else's name because I don't want to get my hands slapped, but I'll definitely say there's an opportunity for us to move up to get that 5. Now, if you can't get anything necessarily in the draft, you can still package that and go try to find a veteran guy, not an aged veteran, but a guy with like 2 or 3 years down the road, get you a guy like that to play the 5. And as long as he's athletic and he's got a little bit of dog and aggressiveness in him, he'll be a perfect match to add to John. And Brad, I've got somebody in mind, but you know, I ain't gonna get all of them out of me just yet.
We can get into that offline. Now,
yes, sir.
Naturally, me growing up a Bullets fan, I had to find a second team because LeBradford Smith, Mark Allery, Michael Adams, I can go on and on. That team was the Los Angeles Lakers. Even though they won last night, beating the Houston Rockets, they were trailing in the third quarter of a game they pretty much had to win in the second round. I'm concerned. How concerned should I be?
Okay, so let's see. Let's put your Laker fandom where it should be. So last night, the spread on the game was Lakers -5.5. I texted a couple of my boys, like, anybody want to sit down with me on this? Because I really think that the Lakers, after that first game, you know how it is. The Lakers like to make a series fun. And it sounds weird. They do the same game one thing where it's like, oh man, the Lakers, they in trouble now. Oh, they in trouble. And then they come out and start dog walking people and you're like, okay, now I get it. The Lakers aren't in trouble and the only person that can beat them is them, really. Houston style of basketball, once you understand how you can switch on James Harden and double team him as soon as he gets the ball and block his vision, you can see the dynamic changes a lot. Now, can you bank on Markieff Morris knocking down 4 threes off the bat? I don't necessarily think so. However, I'm glad to see that he showed up. Same thing with Rondo coming back. We talked about the fact that they were missing Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo and how that was going to affect them. Well, now Rondo's back, and you can see that the ball is moving a little bit different on the court. Danny Green's finally knocking down some threes. JaVale McGee hasn't twisted an ankle, jumping and celebrating on the bench. Dwight Howard's been completely absent, which is totally fine with me because it hadn't disturbed anything. But Laker Nation should not fret. I also took care of a bit of a jinx from the Lakers, Varen, because baby girl had on what she have on the other day? Oh, she had on one of the Lakers' full gear head to toe. She jinxed game one. So I told her we can't do that no more. So she just had on the hoodie last night with the air conditioner on. So, you know, we squared that up. But that was just from me to you. So don't worry, Laker Nation. It's going to be all right.
I thought it was my man in the red sippy cup talking about he was giving Nelly. I thought that was who jinxed us, man. I was concerned when I saw that. I got to post that. I haven't posted that in a minute.
Go ahead and put that up there, man. No, man, the Lakers, here's what's fun about this. The Lakers, they know the elephant in the room. There's no elephant in the room for them. They know what this season means for them as an organization and for the players on that team. And it's just a matter of taking it day by day, kind of like a Nats mentality. You know, win the day. You win today, we'll worry about tomorrow. But I'm excited about this because LeBron, did you see that pass Bron threw to Keith cutting to the basket?
I did.
In transition. Man, yeah. When Caruso kicked it to him at the top of key, I'm like, bruh, he is really AAUing it out here. Like, I've never seen someone in year 17 of their career still extremely athletic. Obviously, the basketball IQ is off the charts. But the athleticism and the selflessness to make sure he keeps everybody involved in the game, that is something you can't overlook. A lot of premier talent, you know, top-tier marquee guys kind of do this, give it to me, I got this. Bron's not that way. Bron had 28, 9, and 2 yesterday. 2 blocks, 4 steals.
You know what's wild?
And only 3 fouls? Come on, man.
You know what's wild? Obviously, him coming out of high school, he plays a couple extra years. I knew that he was on pace to break Michael Jordan's record in terms of points. I did not know he's also on pace to pass Magic Johnson in terms of assists. Just think about that. That's a guy
insane.
that's likely to end up with more points than Michael Jordan and more assists than Magic Johnson. And I'm not even a LeBron guy. I'm a Kobe guy, but I was blown away by that when they said that in the telecast.
He's averaging 25 and 10 on this season alone with those assists being the 10. Like, have we ever seen a physical specimen as big as him play so small and big at the same time? What I mean by playing small is he plays fast, but then when he gets to the rack, he'll just bully ball you like he normally does, throw a shoulder in you, and then draw the foul and one. And for him to be able to be compared to Jordan, compared to Magic, that was one of the early comparisons because everybody's like, oh, he's the king. He scores better than Jordan, but he's got Magic's passing style. For him to be able to move up and take care of his body, take care of his mental situation, you know, his mental health, and be able to continue to perform at such a high level is really a testament to him. I mean, because when you talk about kid coming out of high school, I'm not going to lie. I was mad when they were crying him King James, you know, out of high school. I'm like, how are you going to call somebody a king? And he ain't played no games against no kings. Like, I don't understand that. But he has shown that the man he is off the court and the way that he performs on the court definitely makes him worthy of that designation. I just wish, you know, when we talk about these Jordan comparisons, I just wish LeBron would have found the finals that, you know, he would have actually won all of them like Jordan did. Because Jordan didn't see a finals that he wasn't his. You know, if he showed up to the party, it was his party. Same thing with Joe Montana in football. When people keep talking about Tom Brady, the GOAT, yeah, you got 6 total number. How many did it take to get that? Joe Montana went to the big dance. Joe said, I'm going to draw plays up in the parking lot, and we're going to walk away here with a ring, period. So sorry, that's just, you tapped into my petty for a second.
No, same thing with Kobe Bryant, because I don't acknowledge the Pistons or the Celtics. I appreciate
you
for, there you go. I appreciate you for weighing in, man. What do you got coming up? Where can the people find you?
You can always find me on social media at Real West Hall on IG and the Twitterverse. Today, I will be filming a couple of things that are going to be coming out a little bit later this week on NBCSportsWashington.com. You know we got a new website, right? You know
what I'm saying? Yes, I do.
Yeah, man, we got the fresh little line, got a little Beijing on our website. So, you know, we feeling real good about that. And just otherwise, honestly, getting ready for week 1 against Philly for the Washington football team. The fact that they have committed to the youth movement here is awesome. I'm excited about it. Wale is excited about it. I don't know if it was smart to necessarily start Dwayne Haskins Jr. over Kyler Murray, but why not? Because, hey, Dwayne's had a great offseason. Coach named him the starter. Young kid's feeling himself. Go ahead and give him a shot at week 1. If you got him set up in your fantasy football league, you might as well go ahead and start on week 1 and see what happens.
Man, if you playing fantasy this year, you should have just called and gave me the money, man. I mean,
No. I told my buddy the same thing. They'd be like, man, you want to get in the league? I'm like, here, let me just give y'all my Cash App now because y'all stupid, but I'll go ahead and play this.
You going to lose because somebody out with the virus. I mean, really, that's what you're signing up for.
I'm like, if that's what you want, I got Cash App. I got Zelle, Venmo, however you want to hand me your money, I'm glad to receive it. I turned down no cash in 2020.
All right, that was the Real Wes Hall. You will know him on the streets by Hall on the back of a jersey where it doesn't belong. Thank you, my friend.
Amen, amen. I'm going to take your hate, and celebrate. Always a pleasure, Brother Reese.
All right, there it is, the Real Wes Hall. Make sure you check him out on NBC Sports Washington. And get at me next. I'm taking calls, 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. I'd ask you guys to weigh in on all the things that I've talked about up until this point. Are we a basketball town or a football town? How excited are you about this upcoming NFL season, 1 to 10? 10 being how excited you normally are. I give myself personally about a 6. And the other, the big picture item, it being Labor Day, why we as fans tend to side with ownership over the players when it comes to disputes. I'm going to go to my man Sal in Arlington. Sal, happy Labor Day to you, man. What's going on?
Hey, same to you, Reese. Thanks for bringing up some interesting topics to talk about on Labor Day. I'm an old union guy and was a national vice president in my union, so I'm a little biased, I guess, when it comes to that sort of stuff. You know, to talk about your question about why fans support the owners and how come the players don't seem to have very good support, you know, I, coming from a labor point of view, I don't really see where that's completely all that important. You know, the players don't negotiate with the fans, even though it's good to have the fans on your side. When it comes down to it, the fans don't really directly, you know, pay the players or make, you know, contracts with them. But it is good to have them on your side. And I've always thought that the players, especially the football players, are really not well served by their unions, especially the NFL. I don't even know who's in charge of the NFL union. And they don't seem to be able to negotiate for them very well. I think they really need to work on that in the future, or else they're going to continue to be looked at poorly by the fans in general and get bad deals. But, you know, I think the players really need to sit down and develop good organization and have good leaders who can go out and represent them to the public and to the fans, so at least they know who they're dealing with.
You know, I think you raised some really good points, Sal, especially with regards to negotiations. The players are negotiating with the owners and not with the fans. But I will give you these this caveat. I feel like it is significant when the players or the ownership are negotiating with the fans, as with the owners when it comes to stadium deals or when it comes to what they're charging for ticket prices, what they're charging for parking and beer and all this other stuff. The stances that they take with regards to the players doesn't seem to ever diminish our willingness to pay whatever it is that they are asking. We have a disconnect when it comes to how we perceive the two. And with regards to the players, their actual contract isn't anything that's necessarily affected by goodwill, but certainly the contracts that they sign outside the sport are affected by goodwill. And we know how much those can dwarf the money that they're making actually playing their sport. So popularity certainly affects whether you get that shoe deal and how much you make, or whether you get on the cover of that Madden, whether you're on the Madden cover and all that kind of stuff. So while goodwill, there's an actual dollar sign attached to it directly, indirectly, there's a huge correlation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Really great points. And I think the players want to be negotiating or dealing with the public from a positive and sort of a good actor point of view. And I guess to extrapolate from what you and I are saying is that the players really need to have that good representation and then take it to the next step, which is to, you know, let the fans know what's really going on, what the real situation is, and to keep pounding that home. Right now, for example, with the football players' contract, almost instantly, all of the media and people involved in talking about the contracts started talking about all these low-paid players, and those players are totally ignored, you know, before the contracts. But all of a sudden, they're real important, and everybody wants to talk about them and fight, or, you know, sort of tear them off against the higher-paid players, who generally are in line with what you were talking about. So I think internally the unions need to figure that out and get everybody on the same sheet of music so that they can, you know, develop a cohesive point of view with the fans.
All right, so I appreciate you weighing in. That's good perspective from a guy that's actually been inside and worked inside of you. And I appreciate you, man. Enjoy your Labor Day. Well deserved. I'm coming up next with my good friend Chase Hughes. You guys know Chase Hughes, and you guys that are listening to me, also from NBC Sports Washington. We're going to talk about a number of the issues that I just raised, but I also want to hear from you. 800-636-1067, Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.